If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. It was a very impressive victory for the Fighting Illini tonight. 12-point win over Iowa, 73-61. We're going to be right back with Kedrick Prince and Brad Sturdy to talk about the game.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly two-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in six states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@illiniguys.com and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@illiniguys.com and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
Hi, I'm Ronnie Deutsch, and if you or your business owe money to the IRS, I've got great news for you. Tax laws have changed. Billions of dollars are earmarked for IRS Fresh Start programs, and if you qualify, you can literally save tens of thousands of dollars. Listen, I know what you're going through. Call me if you want to speak with a tax attorney or tax professional for free.
800-523-6376. That's 800-523-6376.
And welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. I'm here with Kedrick Prince. We'll be joined by Brad Sturdy. And we are talking about the Illini's 73-61 game that was both a little bit closer than this, the score says, and a lot further apart than the score says. Kind of a conflicted game. Illini got off to a really an uncharacteristically good start. We're blowing the doors off of Iowa at 30-9. Iowa got their breath back when the Illini started doing some unforced turnovers, played a little bit lackadaisical on defense and had some interesting lineups. And then Iowa got it down to five in the second half. And all of a sudden the Illini just turned a switch and they pushed it to 11. And that was pretty much it for the rest of the game. The Illini really came alive at the end of the second half to take over. Ked, what were your thoughts?
I know when they went to practice this week, I know two things happened. They rebounded, and they probably rebounded again. Then they probably did it four or five more times. And then I think Terrence Shannon was upset because he laid an egg against Purdue. So the way he came out and he just set the tone early, I knew it was going to be a long night for Iowa. I didn't think the score would be that big. You know, they had a, I think, 19-4 lead or something like that at one point. But he came out, and again, I'm not a lip reader, but during one of the timeouts, I read lips, and he made the comment that that they basically couldn't guard him. So having said that, the bottom line, this was a great win. Iowa needed this win more than Illinois did, and I did not expect to see Iowa come out and lay an egg the way they did. That was probably one of the biggest sellouts that they've had all year long, and they begged the fans to come, and they play like that. That's a bad look in my personal opinion.
Yeah, the last 11 minutes, the Illini really took it to them, outscoring them 22-14. But it was just, you know, it was a key time when Illinois made tough shots and Iowa missed open looks. It was kind of the opposite of what happened at Purdue when Purdue made the tough shots and Illinois didn't make the open looks. It was a little bit, you know, the flip of that. And I thought Illinois, you know, displayed a little bit more of the killer instinct. And to me, Ked, the most important thing about this game was in the second half, Illinois held Iowa to 37.5% shooting. And in the first half, Illinois held them to 33.3. This is a very good shooting Iowa team. And if Illinois can play defense like that for two halves, there aren't very many teams who can beat them. And there aren't many teams that if they don't play really well, that Illinois won't beat.
They play. It was, I think it was a combination of Iowa's, I don't think they made shots, but I think Illinois, they did a much better job on the curl cuts tonight, because every time, if you remember back in Champaign, they just made a killing off Illinois doing that, trying to guard them. But I think they came up defensively, you know, looking to hedge a little bit more. And I really like Brad Underwood's game plan. If it was Brad or Terrence Shannon, you know, to go out and get Perkins in foul trouble. That kid's been a nemesis for Illinois for the last couple of years. So I thought that was huge. And, you know, I'm going to give some love right now, you know, to the big fella Dane Danger. I've been a fan of his all year. He came in and he was solid tonight. So, you know, you want to know why, you know, people like me cry and complain about him playing? You saw tonight. Now, how about the big going to the free throw line? You know, his shot's ugly, but he converted on a couple of them. And he, again, he gives Illinois something that they haven't had all year. And Mike, to be honest with you, you know, you were mentioning the field goal percentages. I think he had a lot to do with it, because he changed shots, because he's long. He's a very, very long kid. His arms are long, a big wingspan. So I think defensively, he kind of altered some shots. And around the basket, he was solid. So, you know, whether it was Brad just, you know, not playing Coleman, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why we think he's not playing, or he didn't play a lot tonight. I hope we're wrong. I don't want to speculate.
I expected more out of this Iowa team. I think with their length, even though they're not the quickest guys in the world, they can contest a lot of shots. And, you know, I think that they gave Domask problems for three quarters of the game. And then he got them, you know, he seemed to get his legs underneath him and took, you know, took him to the house there at the end. But boy, I just thought, you know, overall, I thought the Illini played better than I anticipated on the defensive end. I think that had an effect on Iowa. And then I think Tony Perkins, who has had some killer games, especially last year at Iowa City against Illinois, when he ended up, you know, having a goose egg, I think that was the killer. You know, I think that's what really hurt Iowa on top of it all, because he's kind of the engine that drives them.
You know, you're talking about Marcus. I was kind of concerned, because what I thought saw Iowa do tonight, they put a smaller guy on Marcus, and they knew when he was going to try to shoot over the guy. And he started the game 1-for-9, and I think 2 or 3 of those were blocked shots. So kind of concerns me moving forward, because I know teams are going to scout Illinois, especially the first-round opponent. So a lot of teams will see that, but he got going. He made 2 unbelievable shots, and, you know, we've talked about this so much, Mike. I mean, it just stinks that you don't have another year with this kid. He is one of my favorite players of all time. He's having fun. You know, he's in a good situation, and, you know, Brad has believed in him and made him a better player, and, you know, he's just showcasing his talent. So I like, you know, what they're doing. And you're right. You know, Iowa is a long, long basketball team, and, you know, beating them in Iowa City is tough. I don't care how you look at it. I mean, they're not a great team, but Fran's team, you know, is averaging over 84 points a game. And Illinois did a tremendous job of going in there in that environment, getting the crowd out of it early. And every time Iowa had a run, Illinois had an answer. That's the team that we've seen all year. We know that Illinois did not panic. And that's the result of having a lot of older guys. And I will say this. I was impressed with Brad, because I've always wanted to see Ty Rogers, especially Quincy, in the game, at the end of the game. I know Quincy's not a great free throw shooter, but this kid's an amazing offensive rebounder, and the clock's ticking for him and Terrence, and they know it. You're going to live and die by those guys, and they went after tonight. And what's impressive, this will go through the season where they haven't lost, you know, 2 games in a row again. So, you know, I mean, I wasn't expecting it. It's a great win. I mean, especially for where I live at. I'm sorry, I'm going to have a little fun with this because, you know, Iowa and Illinois is always a tough rivalry. People can say that it's not. It really is.
Well, and I'll say that I was very happy to see Quincy Guerrier come back. You know, 14 points, 13 rebounds, had that sense of urgency that I'm not saying he didn't have it, but it certainly wasn't evident. And boy, yesterday, holy cow, you know, he was a house of fire. And when he gets 13 rebounds, that makes a big difference for this Illinois team. And he did that in 30 minutes. His plus minus, you know, he was plus 11. You know, you had Shannon at plus 11. You had Domask at plus 14. You had Dane at plus 10. And the funny thing was, is Coleman Hawkins really didn't play as much tonight, played 25 minutes, but still had 10 points and, 10 rebounds and 4 points. And I think that rebounding drills that you talked about really made a difference in the mind's eye of these players. When you go in and you out rebound a team as much as they did, you know, they really, you know, when you go out there and out rebound them 50 to 33, it's hard for them to beat you, you know, and that's just the way of it.
You know how Brad Underwood is. He likes his kids, his teams to play tough. You're going to beat him. He doesn't mind losing or he doesn't like it. He's mentioned that before in multiple press conferences, but you got to play hard. And I think if he sent that message when they lost to Purdue at home, when those rebounds were standing there and there was three guys who stood there and let it happen, you knew they were going to come out and rebound well tonight. But it shouldn't take your coach to have to challenge you to do that. That should come from within because they're old enough guys. They're one of the oldest teams in college basketball, so they should know to come out and do that. You're going to get every team's best punch. You're a team that is ranked 13th in the country, well, I believe right now 12th, 13th in the country, and everybody's looking for quad one wins because they want to get into the tournament. And Illinois could be the reason why Iowa didn't get into the tournament. So you need to, I mean, and I shouldn't say need to now because the season's pretty much over. It's about 80% over because you got the Big Ten tournament and the big dance. And so I it's hard to say, it really and truly is, you know, what this team's going to do. I just hope they get a good draw in the tournament. You know, I know people are going to like this take, and I'm going to say it again. I could care less about the Big Ten tournament. I really do. I want to stay healthy, and I want a good run in the tournament. And I'm going to tell you, I know for a fact, and, you know, read between the lines what I'm telling you, this coaching staff wants to advance. They know what's at stake. You know, the fans are complaining about it. You're never going to hear the coaches come say anything publicly, but I'm going to tell you, getting to that second round of the tournament is a mission of theirs. I've been with them a lot this summer at AAU events, and I've talked to them, and I'm going to tell you, it's important to them this year. It's the only thing that's missing off their schedule, you know, off their resume. They have Big Ten tournament. They have Big Ten championships. They've won 20 games or something. He's one of the, you know, he's won more games than him and Matt, you know, Matt Painter from Purdue. So that's what they're missing. I mean, to get to the Sweet 16 and find a way would be great, you know. And I don't know who they're going to match up with, but I know teams are going to not want to play Illinois.
No, they are not. And I think at the same time, you know, if teams watch tonight's game with the defense that Illinois played, where you hold a team like Iowa to 35.4% shooting, I think their 61 points was their lowest output of the year. That is going to be something that will not be welcome by other guys trying to figure out the game plan. Now we've got Brad Sturdy jumped in as well. Brad, what do you think made the difference in the defense tonight, because this was a really good offensive team and Illinois made them look pedestrian?
I mean, I thought they put more pressure on them. They made it more difficult for them to get clean looks. Even when they got the mid-range shots, many of them were fadeaways, the ones they made. So I thought they did a better job. They contested at the rim better. They didn't just let guys go, which is something they have done in the past. I thought they got a huge lift from Dane Danger. I think his interior presence, again, he's a real good matchup with Freeman, because Freeman isn't going to, you know, shoot from the perimeter. And also, it really makes it possible for him to, you know, handle him in the post, because Dane has that size to hold his ground against Freeman that maybe Coleman Hawkins doesn't have. So I thought Dane was the right play today, and they got good minutes. Quincy Guerrier and Hawkins both rebounded well. They did a really good job on the glass. I think that was the key. If you remember last time, even when Iowa missed, it seemed like they grabbed, I think they, I want to say they had like 13 or 17 second chance points the last time they played. I can't remember the exact number. But this is a game where they had three offensive rebounds out of the first 35 missed shots by the Hawkeyes. That is a fantastic number, and that's what Illinois can do when they go to the boards. You saw every guy go into the glass. I think that's as big of an issue as anything, and that's one of those things that happens, and it really makes the game different, because it's one shot, and then you miss a shot, and you start to get pressure because you know you have to make it because you're only getting one of them.
Well, you know what, Brad, you know, and I agree with you. I like the part, you know, when you mentioned about the matchups, especially with Dane, because, you know, Freeman, as good as he is, he's not strong enough yet, in my opinion. I'm sure he will be at some point. You know, a kid's only 18, he's only 19 years old. Dane stood his ground there, and Dane is so effective in the low post. He's a tough matchup for kids his age, so you know, I wish they would have went to him more, just because he was able to shoot and make free throws tonight, something he hasn't done in a long time as well. So, but you're right. The rebounding was huge. And before you got on, you know, before you joined us, we harped on that because you knew that was a point of emphasis with Coach Underwood, especially after the Purdue loss when they let a lot of, you know, second chance points go. Sometimes you don't win the 50-50 balls, but the one thing you can't control effort. And that's what he always harps on.
Ty Rogers, you know, started to become, so he's not going to knock down the 20 footer. He's not going to knock down the 18 footer, but he used his quickness and his ability to handle the ball to score some points as well.
I agree with you. Yeah, no, I don't disagree. It's really important to have that. I think really important thing is the bench, and both games against Iowa, the bench has been huge. And getting those guys to give you production, it's been different guys too. You know, I mean, the Moretti game was the last time they played Iowa, I thought. And I thought even today Moretti was okay. He wasn't great, but he was okay. I thought he struggled to guard the pick and roll. I'll be honest with you, I thought Iowa was better when they had Brock Harding on the floor in the first half than when Perkins was out there. And because he was, you know, he did a really good job executing pick and rolls. Now, some of that's because Terrence Shannon wasn't guarding him. And Shannon was just so good handling Perkins. I mean, you know, he just did a fantastic job of keeping him from getting going. And so, yeah, I think that, but yeah, I just feel like it was a bench effort. I thought they got good bench minutes from Dane. Even though Ty Rogers started, they got big minutes from him. And Damask, let's be honest, Damask wasn't good until that one stretch in the second half. And Hawkins really, outside of rebounding, Hawkins was really bad too. I thought he struggled. So when you have two of your big three that don't play well for the majority of the night, and you still get a 12-point win on the road at a team that's probably playing, has been playing about like a top 25 or top 35 team over the past 2 months, man, that's a pretty good win.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. Iowa was on a roll. I was expecting this would be a game that would go down to last possession. And, you know, when Illinois popped up by 21, I didn't know what to think. And then, of course, then we had some of the unforced turnovers. About the only thing that really concerned me that I saw tonight was that Illinois had 12 turnovers against a team that wasn't pushing as hard for the turnovers. You know, I mean, they play you as, you know, they'll press you a little bit, but it's more of a suck the time off the shot clock as opposed to trying to turn you over. And to me, when that's the worst thing happened all night long, it's a pretty good evening.
Real quick, the turnovers were, a lot of them were just loose. I mean, they literally dribbled the ball and lost out of bounds for no apparent reason. It was just complete sloppiness, threw a couple long passes. It was just some really bad turnovers that really weren't for, like you said, they weren't forced at all. They got that big lead, and I think they just got a little sloppy.
You guys were talking about the pick and roll, and, you know, a lot of the people who follow this podcast are Illinois fans, and, you know, a lot of people, and, you know, they're very critical of who Brad's playing and who he's not. I mean, if you're an Iowa fan tonight, I mean, I know Perkins is the man, But I would be a little bit upset because on Sturdy, I think you're right. The game flowed a lot better with Harding in the game. I don't care if he's, you know, 5'10" or whatever. He was finding people. He got the crowd juice and he hit a three. And I would have rolled with him. I don't think he got it in the second half. He did it. It wasn't, you know, for very long. But, you know, sometimes I think people overcoach because he was effective. And, you know, and again, we don't know why Coleman was sitting out, but Dane was playing well and Brad went with him. So, you know, it goes both ways. I would have really, really played him until he played his way out, you know, and said, hey, you know what? We're going to ride him, and now it's enough's enough, because that pick and roll thing with him. But I will say this. I think that's hard to guard, but with him, I think it's easy to guard because he's not going to shoot over anybody. He's going to make that pocket pass every time, and I think Illinois fell for it too many times. But me personally, if I'm an Iowa guy, I would have rolled him a little bit longer personally.
Brock Harding was a +2. Price Sanford was +6. And everybody else on the Hawkeyes team was minus. So you could make a case that with the minutes that Brock was out there, that he did change up the tempo. And I got to be honest with you, I haven't seen Perkins. It's sad, you know, it was senior night. You want to see a guy go and do well. But I don't know that I've seen him play that bad in quite some time.
Yeah, no question. I thought Perkins had a rough night, and it just on senior night, it's a shame. But I think the one thing about him is it's Terrence Shannon's a tough matchup for him because he can't really bully ball him. Yeah. He can't outquick him. He can't out athletic him. He can't outstrength him. And you know, so a lot of those shots are tough shots, and shooting those tough twos, and then also even when he gets the rim, you know, you saw him like try and bully hit Shannon in the chest, and then Hawkins came from behind, which is something we haven't seen Illinois do a lot of late. So I really like what I saw from Illinois tonight on the defensive end. And I thought offensively they were not great during a stretch, but if you take out the turnovers, they're actually pretty good offensively. Which also hurt their defense because a lot of those threes in transition came off of those turnovers. So, I mean, I think there were some things to clean up. I feel like this team just gets a little bit lackadaisical at times. It's almost like, we're up by 20. Let's flip it over here. But, you know, they overcame. You realize they were up 12 and Harmon had a wide open three. By the way, Harmon hasn't made a three since February 17th at Maryland. Right now he's 2 for his last 15 as well from behind the arc, I think it is. Or maybe it's 17 now after tonight. He's got to start making that wide open shot because if he makes that and they go up 15, it's probably over at that point. Instead, Iowa cut it down to 6. And then, you know, they're relying on Dane Danger to make free throws, which is never a good thing.
You know, from my personal standpoint, and Brad, I'm glad to hear you say that. Coach Underwood was a player's coach. You know, and I personally thought, this is just me, and I have an opinion like everyone else, I wouldn't have had him in at the game in Purdue because he's been struggling. He's struggling right now. Yes, you're going to need him in the tournament. I get it. I understand, but, you know, to me, getting a good C, a better C, gives you a better chance to advance in the tournament, and we know that. Yes, it's going to be upsets, but he's struggling right now, and I tell you, yes, he's on the season, he's been decent, but if I'm a coach and I'm scouting Illinois in the tournament, or even in the Big Ten tournament, until he proves he can make some, I'm not gonna guard it. If he's not going to do a Ty Rogers, because Ty's special. The kid hasn't shot a jump shot, and he has not. Outside of 15 feet. His free throws is the furthest thing he shot all season, but he was effective. So if he can't do that and get to the basket, because he's a great free throw shooter, I'd be giving those minutes to Ty down the stretch. And personally, that's my personal opinion, because Ty is also he's going to defend. And the one thing he will always do, Mr. Rogers from Sangamon, Michigan, will go get a rebound. That's one thing that kid does very, very well.
How do you think the health is going into the Big Ten tourney, Brad?
They're going to need these 4 days off. Not going to lie. I mean, they're a little bit dinged up. Somebody told me that Damask wasn't feeling great today, which kind of coincided with it. So with what he played, I think. I also, you know, Luke Goody's got – he had the ankle issue. Now he's got the knee issue. You got Coleman Hawkins has a little bit of a knee issue. You know, so I think that's where Moretti looks like he's back from both his wrist and his ankle issues – or foot issues, rather. You've got – you know, so it's a team of – but every team is like that right now. Every team is a little dinged up, and you got to just kind of battle through it and find a way. I think Guerrier looks much more bouncier. He's got every wrist a wrap now. He's just walking around. He looks like he's ready to go in a box, put on his boxing gloves because he's got his wrist wraps on. But yeah, he's just, but he, you know, he played well today, was aggressive on the glass, and that's what he has to do. If this dude is aggressive on the glass, he's a great rebounder. So, I mean, I think they're there. They're close. But, you know, just like every team, they're a little dinged up. So this is why you got 4 days here. Get ready. Get to Minneapolis. You know, chill out for a day or so. Just then have a practice and get ready. And I think the day off will be huge for these guys. I think they really need that. And kind of just to, you know, this is a great, you know, I don't know. But this has been a great year for Illinois basketball. I mean, they're 23-8. They're 14-6 in what is a Big Ten that, if you notice, has it has like 12 teams with eight or more wins or something, or 7 to 8, whatever it is, or maybe it's 11 teams, eight or more wins. It's a really competitive Big Ten. There's no easy outs except Michigan, and Illinois only got to play once against Michigan, and it was on the road. So this is a really, really tough league. To go 14-6, finish second, and the only team that beat you is a team that probably has – you know, I'm sorry, but this has been an amazing season for Purdue to go 17-3 in this Big Ten. And the when you look at their efficiency numbers, they're so much better than they were a year ago for Purdue. This is really impressive what Illinois did this year. And I think sometimes we get lost in it. And the reality is Illinois played 31 games. There hasn't been one game that they haven't had a chance to win in the last 5 minutes of the game. Do you realize, I mean, how many teams can say that this year? There aren't many. I mean, they've had a chance to win every game down the stretch. Now, sometimes you lose, sometimes you win, but they've had an opportunity every time, and that's pretty impressive.
It really is. I mean, I guess you're right. You look at it, and it could be on the other side, you know, and we've seen the other side, what that looks like. I mean, it's we sit and nitpick and get mad and get frustrated, but at the end of the day, they're, you know, if they didn't have, you know, Shaq Jr. in the middle of Purdue, Illinois probably wins the Big Ten, because I do think overall, talent-wise, I think Illinois is a better team. But when you have a 7'10" center in the middle who can walk who can walk and chew gum, he's tough to guard because he can. I mean, most guys that big can, you know, they can barely, you know, tie their shoes. He can run a little bit, and he can block shots, he can make free throws. So he's a tough matchup. I give Painter credit. We talked about it in the last podcast. He put does a good supporting cast around him. But, you know, Illinois has been lucky with that too, because you had Kofi Coburn in the middle for 3 years, 4 years. So I get it. I understand. But they'll come back down to reality next year.
Edie also has a high basketball IQ, because apparently he read in the rule book that you can run over Chucky Hepburn twice and not get a foul called. So he did that today. And my goodness, Chucky's lucky he's alive after those two. But, you know, when you take a look at, I think that when Illinois is looking to play the winner of Ohio State and Iowa, so that's the 7 and the 10. But what makes me, you know, a little bit hesitant on that is Ohio State is 6-2 in their last 8 games, and Iowa is 4-2 in their last 6 games, and the only team that's beat Iowa happens to be Illinois twice. I don't like having to play a team a third time in 2.5 weeks. I think that's tough, and I think Ohio State is arguably, outside of, you know, Illinois and Purdue, probably the hottest team in the Big Ten. I think Illinois, ironically, this year is the number 2 seed, has the roughest path, because that first game on Friday is going to be a bear. You got teams that are both good, and they have dreams of, hey, if we can, you know, we're on a streak, we, you know, but particularly Ohio State, you know, we can win the Big Ten and make it into the tournament. I know that's a far-fetched dream, but
I agree. One thing I'll say is I agree with you. I think it's hard to beat a team 3 times unless you're just better than them. And I think Illinois is just better. So, I mean, I think it's hard because, you know, eventually you're going to, if you play them 10 times, even if you win 9 out of 10, eventually that one's going to happen, right? Where they're hot and you're not. But the thing that scares me about this game, if it's Iowa again on Friday, a little bit, is that Iowa will have a game under their belts on Thursday, get a C and shoot in that same arena, which Illinois never shot in. So you never know how that's going to mess with somebody. But here's the other part about that I like. Illinois won this game. I think they clinched a 4 seed now. No matter what happens in the Big Ten tournament, they are locked in as a 4 seed. And unless they win 2 or 3 games, then I think they could go in as a three seed because their resume starts to look, you know, you win two more games, neutral site games against an Iowa or Ohio State, or and then you beat a Nebraska or Indiana or somebody. You're looking at another two, couple more quad one wins. You start looking at this team as, you know, 25-8 heading into that, you know, Purdue game. And you're thinking this team really outside of Purdue, they're the best team in the Big Ten by far. And if Purdue's that good and Illinois has close losses to them, maybe Illinois should be a three seed. So yeah, that's, I think that'll happen.
I like that. I'm looking for a three seed. That's why for me, the Purdue game was such a big game. There's a big difference of who you play in the next round. And you know, and I'm sure everybody who's listening to this understands the way the bracket works. A three seed will be huge. You're right. It's very, very possible. It's doable. You know, and I'm going to tell you, I know we're talking men's basketball here, but if you look at the women's, you know, Big Ten tournament, Ohio State was beat the first round on a neutral site. It changes. Home court is huge. You know, Illinois has been great on the road. I like their chances on a neutral court. I just don't know that you're just going to give teams games because that's why you have upsets in a tournament, because you're not at home, you're not in your own bed, and you look at some of these teams and you just have to be good for that one day. That's been my staple for years. The best teams don't always win, but if you're great that day and you beat that team, then so be it. So I'm not guaranteeing that, you know, Purdue's going to walk in there and win this because they're not undefeated and they have lost this year.
Whoever's going to beat Purdue is going to have to play at both ends of the court. They're going to have to play very well, and they're going to need the benefit of a whistle or two. And Edie gets away with a lot. You know, I mean, he's a great player.
In the Big Ten, he does, but in the tournament, yeah. I want to see if that happens in the tournament.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Yeah, I think they're obviously the favorite. I think Illinois is the clear number two team. And then I'll be honest with you, I don't know who the number three team out of this list is, because although Nebraska is the three seed, I think some people may think Ohio State's playing and Iowa are playing better than them right now. You know what I mean? So I'm not saying Nebraska is not good, but I mean, and you know, the other side is Northwestern, who is not, they're the four. They're not the same team they were when they had Ty Berry and when Nicholson was playing and all those things. Like, so this isn't the same Northwestern team. So yeah, I think there's a, you know, and Wisconsin isn't playing as good, and they're all seated ahead of these Iowa and Ohio State and Indiana, who I think all those three teams outside of Illinois and Purdue are the three teams playing the best down the stretch here in the Big Ten.
I agree. I think if Northwestern was healthy, I would say Northwestern. But right now, I have to say Nebraska is dangerous. And I've said it before that Nebraska men and women both, I think those two teams were capable of making a run. And Fred's done a great job. He's resurrected that program, and I know they want to get rid of him early. And thank God that it didn't happen, because he's done a good job.
He has, and that team scares me a little bit, because that fan base is incredibly loyal. And I do think that you know, if they start having even a modicum of success, I think the NIL funds will start coming in, because those people, they just want to win. Now, the good thing is they've got to get the football program back on its feet. So maybe they'll prioritize.
Can I go back to thinking about this season? Illinois is now 10th in KenPom. They're ranked 12th. I actually think they should stay around 12th. I don't think they'll drop for losing to Purdue. But, you know, I think it's fair to say that, you know, this has been a pretty, this has been a pretty good year. I'm really impressed with what they've done this year. Rebuilding they had to do it through the portal this year, and they're going to have to do it through a portal next year because they lose so many guys. But this is a team built to win, and they've had a good year. I mean, maybe you haven't gotten the Big Ten championship, but, you know, there's still a lot in front of this team. And I've been, you know, it's been enjoyable to watch, and kudos to these guys for what they've done this year.
I'll just finish with this. I want them to be healthy going into the tournament. You know, we've been spoiled all year covering a team that's been well, that's competed. And, Brad, you know, another good point that you made, you know, they've been in every game. They've not been just blown off the court. I want to see a healthy Coleman Hawkins. I don't think he launched a three at all tonight. That was a red flag for me. You know, and, you know, Luke hasn't, you know, he's not received a lot of minutes of late. So I want to see this team healthy, because it will be a shame to know going into this season how good this team is, and then the tournament start, then, you know, there's injuries that's going to hurt them. So I pray that they get healthy and they get some rest. And again, Big Ten tournament doesn't mean anything to me. I really want to see this team get to the second weekend of the tournament, the big tournament.
Yeah, I agree with you as a fan, but I think of it as a coach, and I, you know, my guess is that if I'm guessing about Brad Underwood, is he's going to go up to Minneapolis with plans on winning the entire Big Ten tournament, and then worry about the NCAA when you go to the Final Four. I do think this team has been a really fun team to watch throughout the year, and to me, you know, it's been a, you know, the last 5 years. I mean, let's think about it. You know, Illinois is one of, what, five teams in the country that's won 20 games before the postseason conferences. There's only five. Houston and Baylor are two of them. And so ultimately, you know, the last 5 years have been fun. And I'm hoping that, you know, if you have good years and you go to the NCAA tournament, then you have the opportunity to make runs. And so I'm hoping this year is the year that we see Illinois make that run and go. You know, it took Dean Smith a couple decades to really go what he wanted to do in the NCAA tournament. And I hope Brad Underwood cuts the time frame on that a little bit.
Here's the thing, Mike. They don't win in March until they win in March.
Yep.
True of every coach. It was Jay Wright. It was Dean Smith. It's all these guys. It's just, it is what it is. And, you know, there's few guys that catch lightning in a bottle early, but it's always, they don't win in March till they win in March. I mean, you remember the knock on Bill Self at Kansas, remember the Bucknell and Bradley, right?
Bucknell, I mean, Bill.
Yeah, Bucknell, Bill, and Bradley, Bill. I mean, those two, you know, losses, upsets. I mean, that was the knock on him. And then all of a sudden, you know, they win a national title. These things, you know, sometimes this happens. And I think a lot of it's luck finding the right draw. But, you know, go out and compete. If you are consistently putting up 23, 24 win seasons and, you know, 14 Big Ten wins, then you're going to have a chance to make a run in the tournament every year. And that gives you, the more options you have, the more chance you have to make a run.
I agree. And, you know, like I said to you, enjoy it. You know, it's been a great run, and I don't want to see it end, but if it ends, let's end on a good note with it.
Yeah, I'm all for that. I mean, I could stand being there in Houston watching them cut down the nets. I could live with that. Brad, as we wrap up here for this evening, any final thoughts? Now, maybe you could go over what you anticipate the schedule to be this week for the Illini. And, of course, just to let you know, Brad and myself and Matt will be there for the Big Ten tournament. So we'll be, you know, live on up there in Minneapolis. We will be eating at Fat Lorenzo's at least twice, maybe more if I can figure out a way to do it. But Brad, thoughts on the week that we have ahead here for this basketball team?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure exactly when they're going to go. I guess they wouldn't go till Wednesday or till Thursday morning. Because they don't want to miss classes. Or, well, actually, they're in spring break.
They're in spring break, man.
Spring break. So, but I still think they'd want to practice. I'm sure they'll take tomorrow as like a get healthy day, get rest, treatment, do some workouts, get some shots up, but nothing like heavy, and then start Tuesday. They can't really game prep until after, you know, Thursday night. So they'll probably have Friday, they'll have morning walkthrough or late night Thursday night up in Minneapolis. So I expect them to practice Thursday morning and then head up. Obviously, they get to fly, so it's a little easier. I've made that trip, actually. It's pretty quick flight, so not bad. But, yeah, I think they're going to be – that's what they'll plan on doing. They'll either play Ohio State or Iowa. You know, both probably of the – outside of the Big Two, they're probably two of the three teams playing the best right now in the Big Ten. So this is not going to be an easy game. But there are two teams that Illinois is 3-0 against. So, you know, we said last year, law of averages said you can't beat a team three times and Illinois played Penn State, even though it was a terrible matchup. And, well, we saw what happened, right? Penn State won three times. So this is Illinois in the other, they're on the other side of the deal now. So, you know, I think it's set up for them to have a really nice run possibly. And I would love to see another Purdue-Illinois game on Sunday, as long as everybody comes out of it healthy.
So with that, folks, we will be right back after these messages.
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or on the other side of the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know, be it in-game results, top-level stories, or the latest behind-the-scenes info and recruiting. IlliniGuys.com has you covered. For about 25 cents a day, you can have an inside path to your favorite Illini teams, and we'll even throw in a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button, and get immediate access to dozens of stories each month, message forums, free giveaways, and more. IlliniGuys.com.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Are you being audited or investigated? Has the IRS sent you a letter demanding payment? You may not owe what they claim. Make this free call to the Tax Doctor now. Let them negotiate with the IRS on your behalf.
800-485-8801. 800-485-8801. That's 800-485-8801.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. We appreciate it. Please like the podcast, you know, share it on your social media. Give us 5 stars. It really helps us. We appreciate each time you do that. And we will be back this week as we are going to be going up to Minneapolis for the Big Ten tournament. Should be a fantastic tournament as the Illini will open up with the winner of a very threatening Ohio State and Iowa game. 5:30 on Big Ten Network on Friday night. It should be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to a really good Big Ten tournament to get the Illini prepared for the NCAA tournament. Thank you so much, and go Illini!
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over 1 million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.